After the Trial of Our Faith, Jorge M. Alvarado.
When I was a child, a member of the church offered to help my family fly from Puerto Rico to Salt Lake so we could be sealed in the temple, but soon obstacles began to appear. One of my sisters, Maribit, became ill. Unsettled, my parents prayed about what to do and still felt prompted to make the journey. They trusted that as they follow up the promptings of the Lord, our family will be watched over and blessed, and we were. No matter the obstacles we face in life, we can trust that Jesus Christ will prepare a way forward as we walk with faith. God has promised that all who live according to the covenant they have made with him will in his time receive all his promised blessings. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland taught, some blessings come soon, come late, and some don't come until heaven. But for those who embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, they come. Moroni taught, that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not because you see not, for you receive no witness until the trial of your faith. The question is, what should we do to best meet the trials that come our way? In the first public remark as president of the church, President Russell M. Nelson taught, as a new presidency, we want to begin with the end in mind. For this reason, we're speaking to you today from a temple. The end for which each of us strive is to be endowed with power in the house of the Lord. Sealed as families, faithful to covenants made in the temple that qualify us for the greatest gifts of God, that of eternal life. The ordinances of the temple and the covenants you make there are key to strengthening your life, your marriage and family, and your ability to resist the attack of the adversary. Your worship in the temple and your service there for you and your ancestors will bless you with increased personal revelation and peace and will fortify your commitment to stay on the covenant path. As we follow God's voice and his covenant path, he will strengthen us in our trials. My family trip to the temple years ago was difficult. But as we approached the temple in Salt Lake City, Utah, my mother, full of joy and faith, said, we are going to be okay. The Lord will protect us. We were sealed as a family. My sister recovered. And all this happened only after the trial of my parents' faith and following the promptings of the Lord. This example of my parents still influences our lives today. Their example taught us the why of the gospel doctrine and helped us understand the meaning, purpose, and blessings that the gospel brings. Understanding the why of the gospel of Jesus Christ can also help us face our trials with faith. Ultimately, everything God invites us and commands us to do is the expression of his love for us and his desire to give us the blessings reserved for the faithful. We cannot assume that our children will learn to love the gospel on their own. It is our responsibility to teach them. As we help our children learn how to use their agency wisely, our example can inspire them to make their own right choices. Their faithful living will in turn help their children to know the truth of the gospel for themselves. Young men and young women, hear the prophet today talking to you. Seek to learn divine truth and seek to understand the gospel for yourself. President Nelson recently counseled, what wisdom do you lack? Follow the example of the prophet Joseph. Find a quiet place, humble yourself before God. Pour out your heart to your heavenly Father. Turn to him for answers. As you seek guidance from your loving heavenly Father, listen to the counsel of living prophets and watching the example of righteous parents, you too can become a strong link of faith in your family. To parents, with children who have left the covenant path, gently go back Help them comprehend the gospel truth. Start now. It's never too late. Our example of righteous living can make a great difference. President Nelson taught, as Latter-day Saints, we have become accustomed to think of church as something that happened in our meeting houses. Supported with what happened at home, we need to adjust to this pattern. It is time for a home-centered church, supported with what takes place inside our branch, ward, and state buildings. A story is told of a woman who was upset that her son was eating too much candy. No matter how much he told him to stop, he continued to satisfy his sweet tooth. Totally frustrated, she decided to take her son to see a wise man who he respected. She approached him and said, "Sir, my son eats too much candy. Would you please tell him to stop eating it?" He listened carefully, then said to her, "Go home. To the son, come, go home and come back in 2 weeks. She took her son, went home, perplexed why he had not asked the boy to stop eating so much candy. 2 weeks later, they returned. The wise man looked directly to the boy and said, "Boy, you should stop eating so much candy. It is not good for your health." The boy nodded and promised he would. The mother asked, "Why didn't you tell him that 2 weeks ago?" The wise man smiled. "2 weeks ago, I was still eating too much candy myself." This man lived with such integrity that he knew his advice will carry power only if he has followed his own counsel. The influence we have in our children is more powerful as they see us walking faithfully on the covenant path. The Book of Mormon prophet Jacob is an example of such righteousness. His son Enos wrote of the impact of his father's teachings. "I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nature of admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And the words which I have often heard my father speaking concerning eternal life and the joy of the saint sunk deep into my heart." The mothers of the sleeping warriors lived the gospel, and their children were filled with conviction. Their leader reported they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, God will deliver them. And they rehearsed into me the words of their mother, saying, "We did not doubt, our mothers knew it." Enos and the sleeping warriors were strengthened by the faith of their parents, which helped them meet their own trials of faith. We are blessed with the restored gospel of Jesus Christ in our days, which lifts us when we feel discouraged or troubled. We are assured that our efforts will bear fruit in the Lord's own due time if we press forward to the trials of our faith. My wife and I, with the area presidency, recently accompanied Elder David A. Bettner to the dedication of the Haiti Port-au-Prince Temple. Our son Jorge, who came with us, said about his experience, "Amazing, Papa." As soon as Elder Bettner started with the dedicatory prayer, I could feel the room filled with warmth and light. The prayer added so much to my understanding of the purpose of the temple. It is really the house of the Lord. In the Book of Mormon, Nephi teaches that as we desire to know the will of God, he will strengthen us. He wrote, "I, Nephi, being exceedingly young and also having great desires to know of the mysteries of God, wherefore I did cry unto the Lord, and behold, he did visit me. And I dissolved in my heart that I did believe all the words which has been spoken by my father. Wherefore, I did not rebel against him like unto my brothers." Brothers and sisters, let us help our children and all around us to follow God's covenant path so that the Spirit might teach them, so soften their hearts to desire to follow him through their life. As I consider the example of my parents, I realize that our faith will show us the way back to our heavenly home. I know miracles come after the trial of our faith. I've heard testimony of Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice. I know he is our Savior and Deliverer. He is, and our Heavenly Father came that morning of the spring of 1820 to John Joseph Smith, the prophet of the Restoration. President Russell M. Nelson is the prophet of our day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.